Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Let the People Pick the President: The Case for Abolishing the Electoral College, is a concise political and constitutional argument by Jesse Wegman, a New York Times editorial board member, against the U.S. Electoral College. Written in a clear advocacy style, the book examines how the system works, why it persists, and why Wegman believes it no longer fits a modern democracy. Rather than treating the issue as a purely abstract constitutional debate, it connects history, election results, and current campaign strategy to show how winner-take-all-state rules can distort presidential politics. The book argues that the Electoral College is not just imperfect but structurally undemocratic because it can award the presidency to the loser of the popular vote and make voters in safely partisan states feel irrelevant. It also presents reform as achievable, especially through the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which offers a practical route to a national popular vote without requiring a constitutional amendment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the Electoral College is portrayed as a democratic mismatch in a modern republic. Wegman's central claim is that the Electoral College reflects an older political order rather than the reality of contemporary American democracy. The book argues that the original concerns behind the system, including weak communications, limited information, and a less connected nation, no longer justify giving states unequal influence over presidential outcomes. Instead, he frames presidential elections around the principles of political equality and majority rule, insisting that all votes should count the same regardless of where they are cast. This topic matters because it establishes the book's normative foundation. The problem is not simply that the system is complicated, but that it conflicts with democratic fairness. Wegman presents the Electoral College as an institution that can override the national popular will, which in his view makes it hard to defend in a country that already uses popular voting for most other offices. The argument is intentionally direct and persuasive, setting up the rest of the book as an effort to show that the practical effects of the system match its democratic flaws. Secondly, how historical origins and constitutional compromise shape the Electoral College. A major strand of the book is historical Wegman revisits the founding era to show that the Electoral College was never the product of a clean democratic theory. He traces it to compromise, uncertainty, and the political pressures of the Constitutional Convention, including disputes that were tied to slavery and representation. This historical framing is important because it challenges the common claim that the Electoral College should be preserved as a sacred part of the framers' design. Wegman's point is not merely that the system is old, but that it was assembled under conditions of compromise and has been modified repeatedly since then. By emphasizing that early decisions were shaped by practical bargaining rather than timeless principle, he weakens the argument that changing the system would betray the Constitution. The book uses this history to show that constitutional arrangements are not frozen moral truths. They are institutional choices, and if those choices no longer serve democratic legitimacy, they can be replaced. This historical lens gives the book a legal and interpretive depth that supports its reform message. Thirdly, winner-take-all state rules and the distortion of campaign strategy. Another key topic is the way the Electoral College operates in practice through state-level winner take all rules. Wegman shows that presidential campaigns do not compete for every vote equally. Instead, they concentrate resources on a small set of swing states, while ignoring most of the country. This creates a system in which many voters are effectively sidelined, because the outcome in their states is already predictable. The result is not only unequal influence, but also a distorted campaign geography, where policy promises, candidate visits, and media attention are all filtered through the narrow lens of battleground states. Wegman uses contemporary campaign examples and reporting to make this practical consequence visible. The point is significant because it moves the debate away from constitutional abstraction and toward everyday political experience. The Electoral College does not just determine winners differently from the popular vote. It changes how candidates behave, what issues they prioritize, and whose votes they try hardest to earn. In that sense, the book argues that the system shapes democracy at every stage, not only on election night. Fourthly, historical election mismatches and the problem of popular vote losers becoming president. The book gives special attention to elections in which the Electoral College and the popular vote produced different winners, especially the most famous modern examples. These cases are central to Wegman's argument because they demonstrate that the system does not merely create theoretical unfairness. It has altered national outcomes in real elections. By pointing to these moments, he shows how the college can grant the presidency to a candidate rejected by more voters nationwide, which undermines the principle that the majority should choose the winner in a representative democracy. The historical examples also help explain why the issue periodically returns to public debate after contentious elections. Wegman uses them to argue that the system is not a neutral neutralizer of popular passions, as defenders sometimes claim, but a mechanism that can produce outcomes most citizens would regard as illegitimate. This section of the book strengthens the larger argument because it gives readers concrete evidence, rather than relying only on theory. It makes the democratic cost of the Electoral College visible in the record of actual presidential elections. Lastly, the National Popular Vote Compact as a practical route to reform, Wegman does not stop at criticism. He also spends substantial effort on how reform could happen. A distinctive feature of the book is its emphasis on the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact as a realistic alternative, waiting for a full constitutional amendment. Under this approach, states agree to award their electors to the winner of the national popular vote, once enough states have joined the compact to guarantee that result. The book presents this mechanism as a legal and political workaround that respects the constitutional structure while restoring majority rule. This matters because many debates about the Electoral College end at diagnosis, leaving readers with little sense of how change could actually occur. Wegman's reform discussion gives the book a policy dimension and makes it more than a critique. At the same time, the book acknowledges that reform is politically difficult and that implementation raises legal and administrative questions. Still, the compact is presented as the most plausible path forward, which reflects the book's practical orientation. It is a reform argument grounded in institutional realism rather than pure idealism. In conclusion, Let the People Pick the President is best suited for readers who want a clear, historically informed case against the Electoral College and a realistic discussion of how reform might happen. It will be especially useful for students of American politics, constitutional law readers, journalists, civic activists, and anyone trying to understand why the presidential vote can diverge from the national popular result. The book's main strength is its combination of accessible explanation and sustained argument. It does not merely criticize the system in general terms. It explains how historical compromise, winner-take-all rules, and election strategy interact to produce democratic distortions. Compared with many books on the subject, it is less concerned with presenting both sides as equally compelling and more focused on building a coherent case for abolition. That makes it stand out as an advocacy-driven but well-grounded work. Readers looking for a compact, readable, and policy-oriented account of the Electoral College will find it particularly valuable because it connects constitutional history to present-day reform in a way that is easy to follow and hard to ignore. If you would like to support Jesse Wegman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.